Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the NIIT Limited Post Q1 FY10 Result Investor Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us on this call. I have with me Mr. Rajendra Pawar, Chairman of the company, and we have the presidents of the businesses, Mr. Ashish Basu, Mr. G. Raghavan, Mr. L. Balasubramanian. We also have Investor Relations, Kapil Saurabh, as well as CFO Jitendra Mahajan and Mr. Vijay Kumar. We will be discussing the first quarter results. I'll give a quick overview. The results have been on the web for a while now, and in case you have any difficulty in accessing that, you could even now try to go to niit.com, and you would be able to pick up the results. What I would do, as usual, is to give you a brief overview of the environment, followed by the business highlights, overall business and financial highlights, and then a little bit of detail in each one of the businesses, and thus leave a lot of time for Q&A. Overall, if I was to summarize the environment continued to remain volatile, which means that there were good things as well as some challenging times. But overall, the consumer sentiment continued to be weak across sectors. Customer sentiment, if I was to say it in corporates, and consumer sentiment in the individual learning business continued to be weak. Unemployment in the U.S. is still rising. Global markets continue to remain sluggish, and the IT services sector growth rates have come down. So these were the parts of the environment which were challenging. There were some good parts in the environment. The education and skills development are a significant part of the stimulus package which is being provided by governments across the world. We saw this happening in India. We saw this happening in the U.S. We saw this happening in Malaysia. We saw this happening in China. India itself had a new government and a progressive education and skills policy coming out, which will accelerate changes in the education sector, including public-private partnerships. India also announced a new budget with a 20% higher allocation to education, with a support across the board and predominantly on employability schemes. IT sector results showed some positive indications, and there is an increase in hiring that we are noticing. The job market for specialist skills continued to remain robust, as we could see. We started with an April and May which were quite slow, in fact, slower than normal, much slower than normal, but we saw a rebound coming up in June, and we do believe that the earlier 2 months could have also been in addition to the economic environment due to other distractions such as elections, etc. Overall, in the business level, individual learning solutions, we saw at a highlight level strong growth in infrastructure management space, 92%, China, 63% growth in enrollment. Placements continue to be strong, and we also initiated our first steps into getting into ERP training, which is again a huge opportunity. In school learning solutions, we started the quarter with a largest order from Gujarat government for government schools, as well as we saw some improved traction in math lab, as well as adding new private schools in our eGuru solution. We added 114 new schools. In corporate learning solutions, while the environment continued to remain volatile, we did see positive growth in online learning products, as well as we saw the actions that we had taken on cost management, yielding improvement in operational efficiency. And NIIT got a number of recognitions. from technology partners as well as from a number of surveys. In financial terms, the EBITDA improvement is the highlight of the quarter, 286 million, which is up 53% year on year. The margin improvement is 373 basis points improvement year on year, and it is at 11%. Last year, same quarter, we were at 7%. Consolidated system-wide revenues are at 3.688 billion, and that's a growth of 1% year on year, which is nearly flat. Net revenues are also in the same range, 2.61 billion, which is also just 1% growth, nearly flat. Net profit is 99 million, which is down 42%. Part of it was expected, but a large part impacted by forex volatility. Forex volatility affected us in both NIIT Limited operations, but as you know, at the PAT level, we also include the share of profit from associates. We had an impact from there also. From NIIT operations, an impact of 41 million rupees. From associate profit, 67 million rupees. Our revenues in ILS, Individual Learning Solutions, were 856 million, which is flat year on year. But there was an EBITDA margin improvement of 115 basis points year on year. Our corporate learning solutions, the revenues were 1.3 billion rupees. EBITDA margin was improvement was 739 basis points. We had a decent order intake of 31 million. School learning solutions, revenues were up 43% year on year. We had an EBITDA margin of 18%, which was 447 basis points improvement, and an order intake of 1.07 billion rupees. So if you look at our P&L, the revenue growth is flat. We have had a significant improvement in EBITDA coming out of better product mix on one hand, more IP-based product sales. The second, coming out of very aggressive cost management, which included managing our headcount, which details I will share in a minute. We had a 53% growth in EBITDA. The depreciation was higher at 168 million compared to the same period last year, though the depreciation was on a lower side compared to the last quarter. The higher depreciation was predominantly due to new government schools which have been implemented over the period. I think the real change came in other income, where in other income we had two strong changes. One change was to do with the forex impact of an intercompany loan, which is from NIIT to NIIT USA, which had to be marked to market, an impact of 24 million. There was some impact of forex receivables and payables transactions compared to last quarter, so that was another 7 odd million. So totally of 31 million impact here. 9 million impact was in revenues, 9.5, so therefore a total of 41 million impact of forex in the revenues of in the profit of NIIT Limited. At share of profit from associate was lower by 36%, and that is also caused by, if we take the impact of the forex impact on associate profit, 25% share of that would come to 67 million rupees. So that's the 67 that I was talking about. That's the reason our PAT is at 99 million rupees, which is minus 42%. New businesses, I talked about the individual schools and corporate. I thought I'll spend a minute on new businesses as well. New businesses are impacted by the slowdown as well, so the growth rates have not been have not been high in individual segments. Of course, the banking part of the business continues to remain at the same place because of the hiring freeze which the banks have. In overall business mix, individual learning solutions now contribute 52% of our revenues, followed by corporate, followed by schools, which contribute 10%, and new business is 2%. Similarly, in terms of share of profits, individual business contributed. Individual business continued to contribute the largest share of profits, followed by corporate, followed by schools, and of course, new businesses. Given the fact that they are in the nascent stage, are still at a loss, though the loss is reducing as we go quarter on quarter. Individual business contributes 56% of the total profit. If I move on to individual segments, then in individual IT, we saw system-wide revenue growth of 1%, net revenue growth of 0%, net revenue was nearly, well, it was just flat. The geography mix was India 71%, China 15%, and RAW 14%, rest of the world 14%. The lead indicators, enrollments grew 6% globally. Now, normally, 6% growth in enrollment should have had some impact on revenues as well. But as I explained, we started with a very slow April and May, and then the traction picked up in June. So April and May, the enrollment levels were very, very low, much lower than last year. But in June, we saw a positive growth. So therefore, we got the enrollment, but obviously we could not execute on all those enrollments, and therefore to that extent the impact in revenue was not visible. Placements were up 87%. We did not add any capacity on a sequential basis. However, if you compare it to the same period last year, there was a 9% increase in capacity. Just to remind you, last year at this point of time, we were still adding capacity, so that's the capacity that we would have got added. Revenue capacity utilization was the same at 56%. So at the similar capacity utilization, we were able to deliver a better margin in EBITDA terms, and that was out of overall cost management measures. I must also point out that sales and marketing expenses would have been on a higher side, but the overheads and other expenses would have been better managed. IMS, Infrastructure Management Solutions, is part of the business on which we had a strong focus during the quarter, grew by 92%. Short-term programs, by and large, did better. GNIIT had a very slow traction in the beginning. I think this year, because of elections and other considerations, perhaps even the examination schedules were disturbed. But towards the end of the quarter, we saw a strong traction in those as well. But overall, we saw growth in engineers enrollment, we saw growth in short-term courses, and we saw a growth picking up in June in the longer-term courses. China saw an enrollment growth of 63%, and overall revenues grew at 57%. One model which we have implemented of the public-private partnership is doing particularly well in China, which resulted in our launching one more center in Wuxi, in addition to Chongqing, which we had earlier. In schools, the order intake of 1.075 billion rupees was the highlight. We got government schools, 1,870 schools from Gujarat. In addition, we added 114 non-GSS schools. Math lab product continued to have a strong traction. Non-GSS now contributes 30% of their revenue, as well as grew 30% year-on-year. Pending order book is very strong, 3.97 billion rupees, up 28% year-on-year, and 32% executable in the next 12 months. We also have saw 447 basis points improvement in EBITDA margin, which is based on the improvement in product mix as well as the new orders that we got. Corporate learning solutions, we saw continue to see a challenging environment in U.S. as far as custom solutions are concerned, but our online learning product had a very good traction. We had a 23% growth year-on-year in our online learning product, got a number of competitive takeaways, and we think we have improved our overall market strength in this area. Cost management focus and better product mix, since we sold more of high-margin products, resulted in an improvement in margin of 739 basis points, and thus we had 8% of operating margin, given the fact that last year was about flat. We had an order intake of 31 million. We are beginning to see some traction now in customer buying in terms of online learning products, and we added 17 new significant customers. So that gives us a an indication that maybe there is a shift taking place in buying behavior. But custom learning solutions continues to remain weak, and our focus has been just to make sure that we keep enough capacity to look after the orders as and when we get them. We continue to increase our efforts on back-end integration between Element K and NIIT, NIIT's organic operation that resulted in some more operational efficiency, and we continue to increase the variabilization of expenses to make sure that we can handle volatility in the marketplace as we go along. In terms of new businesses, in finance, in the banking training, which is IFBI, our focus has been to reinvent ourselves in the current environment, and in that we have launched some new courses like a diploma in financial accounting, as well as some new banking courses in career segment. These did result in a QOQ growth, which is important in this context, given the fact that last year's comparison would not be valid because at this time last year they were at their peak. In Imperia, we saw continued enrollment trend. We have seen a positive growth year-on-year as well as QOQ. So we do see management training and executives taking on management training coming back. We saw some new functional programs with IIM Lucknow. And in Unica, which is the business process outsourcing training, our joint venture with Genpact, it reached a certain milestone because our first 100 students which completed the batches have been placed successfully in the top BPO companies. BPO segment, the employer segment is still under pressure and the recruitment acceleration is not yet taking place, but I think we are now well positioned after testing the product and gaining acceptance to continue to grow in this. In overall sense, if I remember, I would recall, we had decided to pursue a three-pronged strategy to look at the volatile economic environment. First was aggression and market share improvement in select products. We've been very successful in each one of these, whether it was infrastructure management training solutions in individual learning business, private schools in school learning solutions, and online learning products in corporate solutions. Our second focus was on aggressive cost control as well, which is what we called prudence, using being very strict on cost management. That has resulted in a quarter-on-quarter saving itself of nearly 10%, and that is one of the reasons you also see an improvement in operating margin. But it is essentially to streamline processes, reduce G&A expenses, improve productivity, reduce working capital requirements, reduce discretionary spend, and make sure that we do a wage moderation in line with the strength of the business. All these resulted in cost control measures did result in higher cash as well as lower cost. And we will continue to pursue these as we go along. We had also said we will improve our gross margins by having a higher share of IP-based revenue. So we had started reporting that last quarter, and we had mentioned last two quarters, we had mentioned how it had gone from 35 to 37 to 40% as it was last quarter. This quarter, the percentage of revenue from IP-based, IP-led revenue was 41%. At the balance sheet level, our DSO days have improved marginally, and our overall debtors have come down. Return on capital employed quarter to quarter has improved by about 170 basis points. And the fixed asset position, which is another data point which we normally share, was 297 million rupees, of which 175 million or actually 199 million for school learning solutions and about 110 million on renewal of software licenses, etc. Headcount, we closed the quarter with a headcount of 3514, which is a reduction of 127 on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So what we are doing is making sure that we maintain our headcount in line with the requirements and that we see from our customers on a continuous basis. So I will stop by just adding the last line, which is to say that as we go forward, we are seeing traction now building up in the individual learning solutions in terms of enrollment. We are seeing increased hiring causing a consumer sentiment to recover. We are seeing the school learning solutions being into many more tenders and government policies opening up to increase employability training. We are seeing the government making specific moves to increase their investment and spends on employability, and we're beginning to get some of those projects. So while the uncertain economic environment will remain, I think, and that will affect, continue to affect the corporate sector recovery, at the government spending level, we are definitely seeing a positive traction, and at the consumer spending also, going by the experience of June, we do see that the sentiment is returning back. So I will stop here, and we will now address questions from everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. Please use only handsets while asking a question. The first question is from the line of Mr. Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand a number of things. First of all, congratulations on the good numbers that you've shown in your corporate business as well as the school business. Just first of all, wanted to understand what is the sustainability of margins in both these segments. Secondly, your outlook on the individual learning business and a couple of data points in the form of cash on books and a debt on a balance sheet as of 30th of June.
Okay, so you asked many questions, so let me see if I remember all of them. So first your question was whether the margins in schools and corporate learning solutions are sustainable. The answer is yes. Let me explain you why I feel so. In terms of the corporate learning solution, as we see a higher share of learning products coming into the play, and if there is no further forex volatility, which, for example, results in a strengthening of rupee very dramatically, I do not think there will be a pressure on margins, because the operation has got sized itself to deliver the margin levels that we are talking about. In case of schools, the newer projects that we are getting are at better margins, and I think the new government's approach is also to look at the financial terms more favorably, provided the quality of delivery is good. And we are seeing that in some of the newer projects. So that's what I feel is an answer to the first part. As far as the outlook for the individual learning solutions is concerned, a 6% growth in enrollment globally last quarter and a 3% growth in India out of that is an indicator that which came out of a very, very slow April and May, but a recovery in June. So if we were to extrapolate from the June recovery, we do see that the positive momentum of the kind that we had anticipated would continue. The question which remains to be answered is whether we would be able to recover the shortfalls of April and May in the balance 10 months or not, I think will be dependent on the July, August, September quarter fraction that we see, because that is the peak quarter. So that I answered. Then you wanted some data points. I think you wanted to know the cash on books, which was 673 million. And you wanted to know the debt was 3.3808 million.
Sure, sir. And just wanted to understand, given that we've been winning a lot of government orders in the recent past, as well as the visibility in terms of new government school orders continues to be high, is there a plan that we would look to raise funds in the coming few quarters?
Well, it is going to be an opportunistic issue, because we are being selective given the fact that the government orders exposure, too much exposure would actually load our balance sheet a bit too much. And if the government payments keep coming out, we do not have to raise too many funds. However, if the order deluge is much higher, then obviously we have to be prepared to raise more funds.
Sure.
At the same time, that fundraising will not be in the form of equity.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ms. Divya Nagarajan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Divya Nagarajan. Congrats on the quarter. I think you kind of addressed my question earlier, but to rephrase it on the margins front, in both
can you be a little louder, please? I can't hear you.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, with regards to the margin sustainability question, one thing that we've noticed in both your segments where we've done well on the margins, of course, school learning, we've seen revenue grow as well. But in CLS, we've continued to see, I think in dollar terms, still a drop in dollar revenue. Given that, you know, the U.S. continues to be, you know, kind of uncertain, and you don't probably, if you look at your order book, you're not really looking at growth returning maybe over the next two, three quarters. What will then lead to margin sustenance in the corporate learning solutions from the current levels? I think I understand that one thing is that the online solutions picking up, and that could drive margins. But I understand you'll also have to make investments to drive up revenue if you're preparing for a recovery in this business.
Yeah. So let me try to answer it, and then maybe Ashish will supplement that. See, the first question is, if the product mix is changing towards a higher margin product, if you just retain our discussion at the product mix, the total is not moving up. Yes, you are right. And going by what the people are talking about, next one or two quarters, perhaps the recovery will start. But that's completely out there in the air. So the good news is that the part of the operation where the revenue is declining is, number one, variabilized, which means you can actually right-size yourself, increase or decrease the size of the operation matching with the revenue stream at a very short notice. And the second is that is also comparatively the lower gross margin part of the operation. That is the indicate, that is what is contributing to an improved margin on one hand. The one which you rightly mentioned, that to scale up the operation of learning products, it would also require an additional spend in terms of sales and marketing. But that's already cast, and that's already built into the numbers that we are talking about.
Right. In terms of the individual learning solutions, we've seen enrollments probably the lowest at about 6% year-over-year in a long time. Of course, we've seen IT numbers also, and you've also spoken about it in your presentation. But going forward, do you expect enrollments to pick up from here on?
Okay. So let me hand you over to Raghu, who should perhaps explain you how the last quarter went and how we are therefore getting that indication.
Okay, hi. Basically, if you look at the last quarter, we have posted a 6% global enrollment growth and 3% in India. Going into the quarter, we were expecting a challenging time given the sentiments that we were experiencing in terms of a low campus recruitment, delayed job joining dates, as well as in generally hiring being very soft. So we were expecting, and therefore we had right from the beginning of the quarter decided that we will focus on one area which is very robust, which is the infrastructure management services training area. And there we did a lot of work, and we could see the results in terms of a 92% increase in the enrollments on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Now, if you look at the overall quarter, April and May were pretty bad, and what really helped us was an improvement in the environment and the sentiment in come July. So if what we saw in July were to sustain, then we think that we probably have hit one of the lowest quarter-on-quarter improvements in enrollment. So we have this particular quarter, which is a very large quarter, to see through, and we are taking certain actions to ensure that we do not lose any opportunity in the quarter.
Right, right. On your new businesses again, Vijay, we've seen sharp decline in both revenue and margins. I understand the environment is also kind of picking up with some of your key initiatives there, banking especially. Do you think that you can probably return to come some kind of a break-even here by the end of the year?
The answer is yes, and Raghu will answer that once again.
Okay, basically, compared to the same levels last year, we are obviously operating at much lower levels, courtesy the environment in terms of recruitment in banks. Having said this, if you look at sequentially on a quarter-over-quarter basis, we have had about 18% growth in the banking finance training enrollments this quarter over the last quarter. In terms of management training, as Vijay alluded before, basically we have almost done enrollments which are double the enrollments that we did in the previous quarter as well as year over year as well. So we are finding that there are improvements happening. Notwithstanding this, what we have done is to ensure that during the year we don't lose money in the business. Our plan and the goal is to ensure that we break even in these businesses of finance and management training.
Right, right. One last bookkeeping question. Vijay, what was the cash and debt number that you gave out earlier, please?
673 million was cash.
Right.
3808 million was the debt.
Right. Do you expect this number to go up further in the year, the debt number?
That debt number, no. Marginally may go up during the year for a while, but given the fact that, by the way, in this debt number is also included some part of the Gujarat project expenditure which has already been incurred, for which the revenue will come next quarter onwards and the payment the following quarter. So part of this money will come back.
Right. Thanks and all the best for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All participants are requested to restrict their questions to one per participant. If you have any further questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is on the line of Ms. Priya Rohira from Enam Securities. Please go ahead.
Since you asked me to focus on just one question, can I just take on the individual learning segment one? You know, last quarter we had your placements going up by 41%. That was Q4. And the current quarter we are seeing a phenomenal increase of 87%. One, is it a like-to-like comparison? And second, if you could just give us, you know, in terms of their salary levels, how they are inching upwards. And third, if you could just give us the pricing, how it is in IMS offerings. And would it be fair to assume that once you reach 56%, 60% utilization, that you would typically build in capacity? And since you mentioned that June was a month when you saw a pickup, what was the utilization for June month compared to the quarter average of 56%?
So congratulations on asking one question.
Sorry, that's why I restricted to the business segment.
No. Go ahead, Raghu.
Okay, let me try and answer all the questions. Placements, yes, we've had a significant growth in placements. Yes, it is like to like. primarily because we've been adding a lot of clients to our placement industry collaboration cell. We currently have about 2,000 companies, small, medium, and large, which recruit from us. So that's been one of the fundamental work that we've been doing over the years. And as you can see, companies prefer to take pre-trained people on a just-in-time basis, and that's what is really helping us grow the placement numbers phenomenally. In terms of IMS, you asked the pricing levels. Our pricing levels, we got basically three kinds of products. Not to confuse you, but I need to give you the total picture because we have entered into this space in a very robust and a comprehensive manner. We have the career program, DNIT, which is the, we got a track specifically aimed at this. So the pricing is same as the DNIT, is about 1,37,000 plus taxes. We have a 13-month Global Net Plus career program again. That is priced at about 50,000 rupees. And we have very short-term modular programs which are in the 10,000 range. So we have multiple range of programs. And at the lowest end, it is kind of on par with the competition. But in the medium and the higher level, we are at a premium compared to the rest of the players. But nothing compared to the value that they are giving because the curriculum is a very robust curriculum. You asked about the capacity utilization in June. I'm afraid I don't have specifically cut capacity utilization for June because these courses run across months, run across the quarters. So it's very difficult to give you a capacity utilization specifically for June. And what was your, what is the question I'm missing to answer, please?
You know, typically you build in capacity when you reach around 60% capacity, you know, capacity rather. So, you know, just wanted to, if you could just throw highlight over there. I mean, you are at 56% average. I would, you know, put it this way, that when would you actually, you know, improve your capacity rather?
If you look at our several quarters going back, we have, there have been quarters when we have reached 59-60% capacity utilization.
Sure.
Every quarter, we kind of balance between capacity utilization, capacity expansion, and margin management.
Sure.
So these three are important variables which we continue to manage quarter after quarter. So we cannot at the same time lose growth. So we continuously balancing all of them. All I can say is that we are continuously improving margins between 100 and 150 basis points. In the last quarter, we improved margins by 115 basis points, even though capacity utilization was static at 56%. So you have to look at this in an overall sense with the multiple variables that go into the operation of the business.
Sure. I have certain few questions on the other business segments. I'll come back later.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Yogesh Parikh from Alchemy Shares. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Actually, my question is, sir, since our margin has expanded considerably, I would like to have the flavor of expenditure, individual segment based on the fixed and the variable cost, what you consider to be fixed and variable, and across the segments, so we can understand the expenditure item more clearly.
Okay, I perhaps we won't be able to share with you that right away, but I can give you some indications of how things have moved. So first of all, our variable expenses would have been lower than last year and last quarter because there is an improved product mix because of IP-led products. The second, our overhead and fixed cost structure has come down by about 20% on a year-on-year basis. Because there is a cost control measure where we baseline items and we have been monitoring. So over three quarters, that is 19%. So I can see that four quarters, it will be nearly 20 or thereabouts. So essentially, therefore, the contributors would be fixed costs, which would have gone down. It would be lower variable costs because of product mix. And the reverse action would be higher sales and marketing expenses, which would be perhaps 8 to 9% more than last year. This is perhaps an indicator at a high level I can give you. But if you need more detail at individual level, we would have to dig that out. And normally that's not readily available.
Sir, actually, I was trying to come at the which segment do you consider to be more on the fixed cost side? So, how is the corporate learning business and the individual learning business, specifically on this both of the segments? What you where you consider to be the segment you consider which is high on the fixed cost?
The individual learning segment is higher on fixed cost.
Okay. And sir, approximately what will the proportion to the overall expenditure in individual learning?
I would say about 45% would be variable, 55-60% would be fixed.
And corporate learning?
Corporate learning, I would say nearly 30-odd percent would be fixed.
Okay. And sir, just I missed the breakup of the...
I mean, I'm giving you this off the cuff with...
I just missed that other income components. Can you comment?
Yeah. So in other income, if you see the changes in the other income, there are two contributors to that. Actually three, but let me explain you. So one important contributor is the impact of forex changes, which is about 31 million rupees, which is caused one part by an intercompany loan, which has to be marked to market, given the fact that it is in foreign currency. Okay. And so that is the largest impact of that. Why I'm highlighting the intercompany loan? Because it is in the consolidation, the intercompany loan gets balanced.
Okay.
The second issue which have contributed to the change in would be a higher interest, because at this point of time, debt in our balance sheet is higher than what it was last year, same time. And the third impact which you would see in the other income would be, actually last year there was a one-time write-back which we got in Element K accounts, because after acquisition there was a write-back that would not reappear. So that was the, those are the important changes which took place.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Vijay, just one question apart from bookkeeping one. In terms of the individual learning business, once again coming back to that, we have seen growth rates coming down quarter on quarter from about 39, as high as the 25% in the second quarter last year, to just about flattish. Can we see growth rates, obviously June and July, as has been said, have been better. But are we looking at a substantial increase in the growth rates on a YOY basis over the next 3 to 4 quarters?
Raghu?
Okay. Given the fact that the first quarter we had a pretty much flat revenue level, and given the indications that we have seen in June, we do believe that for the whole year, we can look at overall growth at the lower end of our earlier forecast guidance, in the region of about 10%.
Okay.
Given whatever we have seen so far, and given the fact that this quarter is a very large quarter, we've got a few plans in place that should lock in a very solid direction for the rest of the year.
Okay. And a bookkeeping question, can you explain the changes in the other income, but can you just give out the figures, the breakup of the negative 10 crores? I probably missed out on that.
Yeah, okay. So if you compare with last year, the interest burden on compared to last year would have shown an increase of 37 million rupees. The impact of forex, which I explained to you, was 31 million rupees. And there would be a 30 million, which was a one time, which I think I had mentioned in the last year, same time call, that that's a one time write back.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll come back for more. All the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ms. Karishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Grishma from Envision Capital. Sir, I wanted to know how much have we made in terms of margins on the constant currency basis for CLM this quarter?
I'm sorry, could you say it loudly? Operator, I'm not able to hear people.
Sir, on the CLS segment, yeah. What is the constant currency margin that we've made this quarter?
I would not have that. It would be of the same
see, last year we were at around a 0% kind of EBITDA margin this quarter for CLS.
Yes.
And this year we've improved by around 740 bips. So,
yes.
Wanted to know how much have we improved?
What is the impact of currency impact?
Yes, basically currency impact.
Okay, one moment. Okay, I'll pull that data out. Meanwhile, maybe we could take the next question. I'll just pull that data
out. Yeah, and what is a particular reason for the school learning segment margin improvement?
What is the?
Why have the margins in the school learning segment improved?
Okay, Bala, can you...
this is Bala. See, we are able to get more projects and able to manage the same workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a project... the product mix in private school.
Mm-hmm.
You know that last year we introduced new products, which is on IT, especially
yes.
MATLAB, Interactive Classroom,
okay.
School.
Okay.
They give more margins.
Okay, so what if I had to just take a level ahead, what was the government and the non-government revenue composition this quarter?
70-30.
So we more or less same at these levels, right? I mean, we were at 73-27 last year, or were we at 70-30 last year?
Yeah.
We have the number. Yeah, it is an improvement, so it is not it is not at the same. It is an improvement.
Okay. Fine.
Okay.
I just want.
Your question was, what would the margin have been if we had been on the same exchange rate
yes.
in the corporate learning solution.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That number would be, just give me a 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Would be about 32 million rupees less.
32 million rupees less. Okay,
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'll calculate. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Ankur Arora from ING Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. A quick question on corporate learning, basically taking off from where Divya left. You said that okay, product mix essentially has changed, which has led to margin improvement. Can you just break it up, the revenue in the corporate learning between, say, custom learning solution and online learning product, and how the growth has been in each of the segments?
He says, percentage, what is the, how is the mix changed? He'll just pull it out. Meanwhile, we should take some other question.
See, basically related to that only, while you said the custom learning solution essentially has remained weak, can you give a sense of how much degrowth or kind of thing you have seen in this kind of segment? See, the reason why I'm asking this is we all know that the situation in US has been quite poor. The discretionary spending essentially is in a complete halt. Given that scenario, the very fact that we are able to maintain our revenue at the same level and at the same time improve the margins is quite commendable. So just wanted to get a sense of it, how things are really panning out, how do you really see this thing sustaining over a period of time?
Okay, so you have answered to the first question also.
Yeah, so this is Ashish. I will give you the change in mix, if you will, over the last YOY.
Yeah, sure.
So the learning product was a year ago was 25%, now it's 32% of revenue.
Okay.
Print was 36%, it's now 35%.
Which one? Second?
Yeah, so there is a combination of, in the learning product, we now separate out print
okay.
as print learning product and online learning product.
Okay.
So print has gone from 36% to 35%.
Okay.
Custom content has, the custom solutions business has gone from 24% to 18%.
Okay.
And the training outsource piece is about flat at 15%.
Training at flat at 15%. Okay. So 32, 37. Okay, fine. Good. Got it. Okay, and if you can just throw some light on the business scenario in US.
Business scenario in US.
I couldn't quite get the context. Is it for overall?
What he's corporate. Saying is that, overall corporate learning solutions, if the custom content is shrinking, learning products are increasing, so what is the scenario going forward? Will it remain like this? Will it become more learning products, less custom? Like,
okay, so as far as custom is concerned, it is still very volatile. I think we spent the last two or three quarters just making sure that in this business we variabilize our expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So the outlook on this is that it is still soft. We are seeing an occasional order trickling in, but it's not firming up. As far as the learning products is concerned, we very clearly have been aggressively pursuing both development of new products as well as enhancement and, maturing of the sales team. Now, that's beginning to get results, and we are beginning to get some more substantial wins away from our primary competitor. As far as training outsourcing is concerned, that's the piece which we are also very bullish about. The way that is working is that there are companies who are today in the IT space who are actually interested in us participating with them in doing outsourcing in EMEA and APAC. And that's looking very bullish. And as far as the print is concerned, that's pretty much flat. I mean, it doesn't sort of reflect very much. So overall, if I were to look at it, the training outsourcing business is something which is bullish. The learning product business is something which is growing well. We expect it to continue. And the custom business is soft. We are increasingly, making sure that we variabilize the process there.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nitin Singhal from Bridger Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Well, congrats. Well done in a tough quarter. I guess I have a question, maybe for Raghu or Vijay, either one of you guys. And when you're looking at what you've done to the cost base, specifically in ILS, do you think that you've mainly taken out a lot of excess costs that are not going to come back, whether you say it's G&A or process improvement, or have you kind of sized the ship for a lower growth environment so that if you do end up getting growth back, you're going to have to start rehiring and get some of the G&A expense back?
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Okay. Anyway, Raghu.
I got your question. Thank you. Basically, what we have done is to kind of prune it down to the level at which we are operating. But essentially, when the volumes come back, we wouldn't necessarily have to add at the same level as the volume grow up, in order to protect our operating leverage as we go forward. That's how it's been done.
Okay.
And one of the important things you should know is that the environment being tough, one thing we didn't want to do is to pull back spends that are required to keep the brand and customer acquisition process in. So that's something that we have not switched on. We have eliminated many other cost levels which we can do without in the current environment.
So, but is it fair to say you've basically taken the fat out of the business? You haven't sort of reduced the effective capacity. I mean, your revenue capacity is the same, but you're not going to have to start putting those cost backs and rehiring the people you don't have anymore if the environment somehow becomes stronger.
No, basically you should read what I said as variabilizing the cost.
Okay.
You should know that in as much as there is fixed cost, there is a lot of, let's say if we take the people cost, there is always variabilization possibility because of rationalizing capacities, not filling in, not backfilling attrition, and things like that. So essentially, you should read it as a variabilizing of a cost base in response to the top-line opportunity that we have seen, or the lesser top-line opportunity that we have seen.
Okay, and then could you tell us the capacity 9% year over year that you mentioned, is that seat or is that revenue? The flat Q over Q, but
seat capacity.
Seat.
It's flat quarter on quarter.
Yeah. And the last thing is, so when I look at the China in ILS system wide.
Sorry, there was an internal dispute. Utilization is revenue capacity. The increase in capacity is seat capacity.
Yeah, I got it. So the plus 9% year over year is seat, but the 56% is revenue.
Very right.
That's right.
And then the last thing is China had a strong quarter again this year in the ILS business. When you look at last year in the September quarter, they had relatively weak growth numbers. So does that mean that there's a potential for, you know, how does China play out in September? Is that continued sustainable strong growth, or is there, are we going to step down from where we are today?
We continue to see strong opportunities in China. The growth that you're seeing is a result of some of the fundamentals that we've been putting in place in the recent quarters. One is the public-private partnership that Vijay talked about in terms of centers being set up in partnership with government, where the government is giving us infrastructure and we do the training with our contents and faculty. Second thing is we've introduced a series of technology companies, technology products, similar to the engineers range that we have in India. These two are adding layers of growth to China. We do not see this as a one-off growth, if that is what you were querying. We do see sustained growth. Whether it will be in the same 57% or will it be 45% is a matter that we have to see as we roll forward.
Thanks a lot. And Vijay, you said AR and DSOs are down. Could you just give us the number? And that's all I have.
Okay. We could handle the next question. Meanwhile, I'll just...
all the best, by the way.
Sorry.
Good luck to your head.
2864. 2864 million is the AI.
Okay, thanks so much and all the best. Good luck for the times ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ms. Sonal Kohli from AIM Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations and good numbers, Mr. Thadani. A couple of queries. Firstly, your other income is about negative 10 crores. You mentioned that about 40 million would be on account of various forex losses, which means the balance is about 60 million. Considering your debt itself is 3,800 million, even if I take a 3% quarterly cost, that would amount to about 100 million. So could you give a breakup of what is the other income you make and what is the interest cost you pay on the and how does the 60 million add up?
Yeah. No, so first of all, I was giving you a comparison versus last year. So when I gave you the additional interest cost, that was additional 37 million that we paid this quarter. Okay? So our overall interest expense was lower than last quarter, which means sequential quarter, but I will just tell you one by one. So, our this quarter interest expense was 73 million versus in last year's same quarter it was 36 million.
So
that explains you the difference of 37
so
million.
How is our interest cost, less than 8% or so, because 73 million on a 380 debt, or was our debt at the beginning of the quarter or the middle of the quarter much lower than what it is now?
Yeah, because please remember, within this debt, lot of this debt has come towards the end of the quarter. One, two, we are using working capital limits, so it depends on the usage of working capital during the quarter. That also contributes to that.
Okay.
And third is of course the foreign currency loss.
In terms of your loans, in the annual report, you have given about 40 crore loan to the university. Do you charge any income on those loans?
We charge our rate of debt. Whatever is our cost of debt, we charge them back to back.
Okay. So that also gets reflected in other income. Is there any other element of other income in this quarter in terms of any, benefits on currency or...
Not benefits. As I said, there is a 31 million foreign currency loss because, as you know, dollar moved from 50.86 on March 30th to 47.89 on June 30th. And as I mentioned, the part of this is notional because it's an intercompany loan from NIT India to NIT USA.
In terms of your depreciation, has it got reduced because of the same reason, because your element K gets translated and hence the depreciation gets reduced when the currency comes?
No, in element K, depreciation is very, very low in any case. The reason that the depreciation is low is because assets retire at the end of the year and do not continue on one hand. So it could be a school project which may have got over, it could be an asset which whose life is over, stuff like that.
In terms of element K margins, was there any write backs or any non-recurring item of any nature, like, you know, provisions written back or earlier accounted for or?
No, if there are any provisions written back, they are normally below the line. That is what happened last year. Because provisions can't be written back above the line, as per US GAAP.
In terms of your outlook for element K, is it fair to assume that you mentioned that you are expecting about, 7% margins, or when you are referring to these margins, you are referring to adjusted for the forex currency benefit you would have got? So more like 5% margins?
No, we are assuming at any time whenever we assume anything going forward, what we do not speculate on is foreign currency. So whatever we are assuming as going forward assumes that there is no change in foreign currency, which means if there is a change for the better, you will see, and better means rupee weakens. In that case, you will see an improvement. If you see a change for the worse, then you will see which means rupee strengthens, then you will see that impact a little bit. So when we comment on future, we always assume a flat. And as you can see that over the time that we met for our annual results and now, which is when the margins are slightly better than what we had at that time projected. And that's not because of foreign currency. Because foreign currency is the exchange is approximately at the same level. It's just 20-30% difference.
Is there any seasonality and can one extrapolate these margins?
There can be seasonality, it depends, but by and large, one can expect these kind of margins for the rest of the year.
In this is built
three operations. There is our NIT organic operation, there is India NIT organic US operation, which and Element K are now more or less integrated. The second part is the Indian operation.
Okay. In terms of institutional business, your EBITDA margins have really improved. Has your EBIT margin also improved to that degree, because it depends upon whether the order is a boot or a non-boot order, and hence, you know, to get a better idea of your operational performance, could you throw some light on whether the EBIT margin improvement is almost to the same degree or lesser or higher than?
No, then on the newer projects, the EBIT margins are better.
What I meant was your institutional EBITDA margins are better by about 440 basis points or somewhat around
yes.
that figure.
Yes.
So is your EBIT margin improvement also around that level, or it's significantly lower or higher than that number?
EBIT margin would be approximately the same. I don't have the number immediately, but it will be approximately the same.
Okay. Last two queries you mentioned about your...
Would have improved, right? That's what? Yeah, would be the same improvement. Sorry,
okay.
That's what I meant.
In terms of your new business losses guidance of, you know, breaking even this year, what you meant is for the whole year, or you meant end of the year you would be in a position to break even?
Our projections were based on the whole year.
Which means you're likely to report some...
Yeah. So let me explain you, and I think that needs to be explained a little bit. There is a part of it which is FMT, which is a finance and management training, that for that it is the whole year. Unica, if you remember, we had discussed in the last quarter as well that we expect this business to break even in the third quarter, I think.
Okay. And sir, in terms of your employee cost consolidated, could you throw some light, because you have been cutting cost, and that's a very significant part of your overall cost structure. What kind of Y&Y and Q&Q decline in employee cost have you seen? And because, you know,
I do not have that right away, but I can send that to you separately.
Lastly, on your individual business, you mentioned about, you know, expecting a 10% kind of growth. Is that expectation based on growth from the markets of China and rest of the world, where you have been growing now for the last 3 quarters or so, or growth returning back to India? Because, you know, this is the second quarter of almost flat growth in Indian business.
The enrollment growth in India last quarter was on a like-to-like basis 3%, 3.2%. In the quarter, that is the quarter that we're discussing now, which is AMJ quarter, it was 3%. So the growth, the guidance that we were talking about earlier is a function of all the geographies. Your question specifically about India, I mentioned that the June was June month was a good month, and expecting that situation to by and large hold in the next few months, quarters, particularly this quarter, which is a very significant quarter. And taking all factors into account, I did mention that overall we should be hitting the lower end of the guidance that we had mentioned earlier.
But would you expect your non-India business to grow faster than your India business this year? Because, you know, this is your last two parts of the previous year, the non-India business had grown significantly compared to the India, so the base is much higher in the remaining half of the year.
Yeah, I expect that to happen, but then their impact, they have got a weighted average impact on the total number. So, yes, they will grow faster than the India business.
Last query on your China business, you know, your annual report is out and we are going through some numbers. The China business still makes a loss after so many years of operations. How do you plan to scale that up to a significant level and make a profit in that geography?
I think you have looked at China business perhaps at a standalone mode and not in a consolidated mode, because China itself is two or three subsidiaries.
Yeah, I've added all the subsidiary numbers.
Yeah, but then you have to add the profit that is also available in India.
Oh, so there's a transfer pricing.
No, there is a consolidated operation of China. So individual subsidiary numbers do not reflect perhaps the overall, should I say, health of the business.
Sir, how do you plan to grow this business to take it beyond the current size? You know, it's about $5-6 million in size as of now.
It is, first of all, about $30 million size.
I mean, the net revenue, your share of...
The revenue which gets into our... So the one easy way of doing that is to change the business model a little and the revenue will rise. The second is to improve on margins. Our focus is on both. And I think Raghu talked about the public-private partnership. That is a positive step in taking the revenue forward faster. And obviously, with increased revenue and lower cost of acquisition in the public-private partnership model, I think we would be improving margins as we go forward.
What new product?
You'll be launching new products in the...
We are doing, as we launch.
Mentioned technology products I mentioned earlier, like the engineers product which you've already launched, that is gaining traction.
Your annual report mentions that, you know, more capacity additions through partners. What does that imply? You know, that's, that comment is in particular to China in the annual report. Does that imply that you will go for tie-ups with new players rather than going it on your own, or does it imply that you will increase your capacity through franchises?
Well, it actually, through partners in this case, we have three kinds of partners. We have business partners who open a franchise center very much like we do in India. We have university partners who allow us an NIT Insight Center. And then we have provincial government partners, which are the public-private partnerships that we are talking about. So that's what we mean by partners.
Thank you so much.
And I have response to your question on people cost. YOY people cost reduction is -16% to 17%, and QOQ is -7%.
This is, sir, at consolidated level, I understand.
Yes.
And, okay, is there any one-off in this in terms of, you know, deferment of some compensation or bonuses or something?
No.
This is something...
All costs are recognized on accrual basis.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sunil Tirumalai from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you very much for taking my question. I just wanted to check, you mentioned about the June month seeing a rebound in enrollments. How has July been so far over the last 25-26 days?
We'll have to check at the end of this call how July has been so far. But, Raghu?
Well, I haven't seen anything significantly different in terms of the signals and the sentiments and the trends compared to June. So, but in terms of numbers, like Vijay said, we got to roll that up at the end of the month and, you know, and look at it. I haven't seen anything drastic that should signal a difference to the kind of trend that we've seen in June.
Okay. And in the again in the ILS segment, you've spoken about infrastructure management training and putting a lot of emphasis and growing very strongly. What percentage of revenues to ILS would that contribute?
We won't have that data available. It is relatively small, is all I can say at this point in time.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank
okay,
you.
Operator, could we take this as a last question?
Sure, sir.
We can take it. And if there are any others waiting in the queue, could we request them to? Yeah, we can call them up, or Kapil can have a call with them separately.
Sure, sir. Our last question is on the line of Mr. Vishal Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Sir, this is Surendra here.
Yes.
Sir, I was just trying to understand the individual learning business guidance which you talked about.
Yes.
Guidance was given around May end when, as you said, that the business environment was had been quite challenging for a couple of months.
Yes.
And June was clearly a much stronger month. So why has the guidance been revised lower now? Because if the guidance was given during a phase when things were particularly bad and after that we have seen an uptick, so why is there a case for guidance being scaled down? I'm just trying to understand that.
Okay, let me try and answer that. In the late part of May when we gave the guidance, it was for the whole year, and we did mention that this quarter is going to be not reflecting the annual average. We did mention that this quarter will be a lower number, and our guidance has been for the full year.
I was talking of the full year number. If in May end, I think the call was on 27th May, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
If you feel that the full year growth will be 10 to 15%, and after that there is a strong data point, one strong month, and then you feel that it's now 10% and not 10 to 15%, just trying to really understand the logic behind that.
But the April and May months, when we did complete the month, they were worse than that what we were expecting. And we were expecting a certain level of recovery in June anyway. But the point is that if the June recovery was not what it was, then we wouldn't have reached even where we reached. So we had a certain assessment of April-May damage in terms of the size of the challenge. And that's what kind of went into our computation. So that's what it is.
I still really don't understand that, but Vijay, maybe I'll take it offline. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.